The following talk was given by Steve Hagen at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on November 27, 2005. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all today on this cheery day, huh? This morning I thought I'd talk about a paragraph out of the Fukan Zazengi that we recite here after meditation or at the end of meditation on Friday nights very often, and also the last full night of Sesshin we recite the Fukan Zazengi. That is Dogen Zenji's universal recommendation for Zazen or sitting meditation. And in it, in the Fukan Zazengi, there's a paragraph that might not be too clear. Well, there's probably several paragraphs that aren't too clear. But this one perhaps might be a little enigmatic. I just thought I'd read it now and then talk about it. Dogen says, "For Sanzen, a quiet room is suitable. Eat and drink moderately. Cast aside all involvements and cease all affairs. Do not think good or bad. Do not administer pros and cons. Cease all movements of the conscious mind, the gauging of all thoughts and views. Have no designs on becoming a Buddha. Sanzen has nothing whatever to do with sitting or lying down." Well, what is this, Sanzen? He says, for Sanzen, a quiet room is suitable. He says it has nothing to do with sitting or lying down. What is Sanzen? Literally, it means something like going to Zen or going to study with a master. But for Dogen, and it's important to understand, Dogen will often take a word and use it in his own peculiar way. And for Dogen, this term Sanzen means basically the proper way to do Zazen. The proper way to do Zazen. We don't easily understand this, or at least generally when we come to Zazen. Zazen, sitting meditation. Za means to sit. Zen is meditation. So Zazen is sitting meditation. And when we come to sitting meditation, well, I would say right across the board probably, when we first take this up, we really don't understand it. We come with a lot of ideas and notions about just what meditation is. And it's often looked at, well, in so many different ways, kind of like maybe some kind of medicine that we'll take to fix us up, make us better. Maybe it'll bring us to enlightenment. Maybe it will help me calm down. You know, many thoughts like this. Well, I can tell you right now that whatever you think, that is not Sanzen. That is not the proper way to do Zazen. Well, this gets a little frustrating then, because we want to know what's the proper way. How do we do Zazen? Because, once again, we want to do it right so that, we can get something out of it. So Dogen helps us out here a little bit. He says that for Sanzen, he says a quiet room is suitable. He doesn't say a quiet room is necessary. He says a quiet room is suitable. So if we can, let's see if we can create a quiet room, a quiet space. And we think, well, yeah, you know, that all makes sense. You know, you sit in meditation, of course you want it to be quiet and peaceful. So that seems to make sense. But then we think that's kind of a requirement, that it has to be quiet, it has to be peaceful. So when the dog starts barking outside, or the lawnmower starts cranking up, or the jet plane flies over, or somebody standing just outside the window having a loud and animated conversation, then we might get kind of upset. You might think that maybe we should move to the country, something like that. And Dogen's teacher even told him to do that. Go to the countryside, go away from the town. We might think that Zhu Qing, Dogen's teacher, recommended that he do that because it is quieter there. Of course, it's not necessarily quieter there. Probably it's quieter than the city. But that's not the reason to go, because it's not a requirement that we have a quiet room. It's just that a quiet room is suitable. So it's important that we understand this. So if the room or something about the room, just adjacent to the room, just outside the room, outside the building, on occasion, maybe it's not so quiet. Well, that's okay. This is the world. The world isn't always quiet. But a quiet room would be suitable. Recently, somebody asked me, well, they said that when they sit Zazen at home, they have to wear earplugs. They have to wear earplugs, and they wanted to know if that was okay to wear earplugs. Well, I don't know, okay, not okay, but it's really not necessary to wear earplugs. And in fact, I would say if you wear earplugs, that's not so good. This isn't about shutting ourselves down, you know. You know, we don't close our eyes, you know. We can't exactly shut our ears unless we put plugs in them, maybe. But just as we don't close our eyes, why would we close off our ears? So I said it's not really necessary to wear earplugs. In fact, that's kind of an artificial thing that you're doing there. That would just avoid. We want to be open to the environment, to what is taking place. Now I said if it is so loud at your home that it would damage your hearing, well then maybe you should wear earplugs, you know, but not because you're going to be sitting in meditation. But then thinking on Dogen's recommendation here that a quiet room is suitable, I pointed out that maybe if it is that noisy at your home, then maybe you should find a more suitable place to sit Zazen. So this matter of quiet, you know, we should understand this. If we demand it to be quiet, we will be frustrating ourselves. We will not be able to enter into just a quiet and stable mind. Yeah, even if it's noisy, we can still enter into a quiet and stable mind. But if we demand, insist that it must be quiet, well, then we won't know that mind. So it's very, very immediate and very direct. See, it doesn't really matter in a sense what kind of sounds are out there in the environment. Of course, if you're in a place where there's just excessive noise, you wouldn't want to set up your meditation cushion probably in a blacksmith shop or something like that, you know. Unless you really want to test yourself, but that's just ego practice. So there's no need to do that. So he says that for Sanzen, then, for the proper way to do sitting meditation, he says a quiet room is suitable. And he says, eat and drink moderately. Eat and drink moderately. Yeah, because, you know, if we want to do our meditation, our formal meditation, at a time when, well, we say we've just eaten, or we've just had something to drink, not the best time. And if we also do this to excess, you know, it doesn't work well with our meditation. It's not really the proper way to do meditation. And why is that? Well, just very simply, if you eat something immediately, the blood, you know how your circulatory system works? If you have something now in your stomach, your body will start shunting the blood, more of it, to your stomach and your intestines and all of that. It starts pulling it away from your brain and elsewhere. And so that's why, have you ever noticed, oftentimes after we eat, you know, particularly if you just allow yourself not to be too agitated, you can just sit there for, we start to get a little drowsy, you know. Well, this meditation, it's not about going into a trance, it's not about shutting out the world. It is not any of those kinds of things. It is about being here, being present, being alert. So just as a quiet room is suitable, it is also suitable that we don't do things that will make us less alert, such as eating and drinking, particularly right before Zazen. Of course, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't eat and we shouldn't drink. But if we're talking about the formal exercise of meditation, we want to stay away from that. And my teacher used to always say, too, that when you, like at Sushin, when you eat, because there we are, shortly after we eat, generally, made a little bit of a break there, but then we go back, sit more Zazen. So he says, eat to 70% capacity, just 70%. But sometimes at Sushin, we get really hungry, and we want more food. But that's a time for us to be moderate, I think, in eating and drinking. And then he says, cast aside all involvements and cease all affairs. Do not think good or bad. Do not administer pros and cons. Cease all movements of the conscious mind, engaging of all thoughts and views. But he says, cast aside all involvements and cease all affairs. So if you're going to take up Zazen, the proper way to take up this sitting meditation is at that time, then we just simply do that. We cast aside all involvements. We probably involve ourselves in wondering if this meditation, if we're doing it properly. Here he's talking to us about doing it properly. We might wonder, well, am I doing this properly? What's the proper way to do Zazen? And Dogen might be telling us a few things here, but we still don't quite understand what he's saying. Particularly a little later on, the Fukan Zazengi, where he says things like, think not thinking, and stuff like this. And so we might involve ourselves in things like that. Or we sit down and we have our busy mind. We've had a busy day. Many things have come up. We might be upset with this or that. We might be looking forward to this or that. Might feel that there's somebody we need to talk to about something or other. Any number of things could be going on. We might think that, man, I'm really into this sitting and I'm on cruise here now or something like that. But we're thinking, you see. And what Dogen is saying is to cease. Cease all involvements. Cast aside all involvements and cease all affairs. Just set all this aside. And why would he say that? Well, because you see, he's talking about Sanzen. The proper way to do this meditation is that you have cast aside all involvements and ceased all affairs. Well, how do we do that? But now we can end up getting frustrated because we think that somehow this involves making our minds go blank or something like that. But you can't make your mind go blank. You might think that this is about tossing every idea out of your... Well, how can you do that? You can't do that. Because every time you get hold of a thought, you're somehow involved in it. And how are you going to throw that out? This thing about trying to throw things out of our mind, that isn't the way to approach it. That's kind of a usual way of just allowing ourselves to get all tangled up in one thing or another. And having ideas about the right way to do Zazen and the wrong way. Because he talked about getting rid of these ideas of good and bad, pros and cons, all of that. No, it's just a matter of if you want to cease these involvements, just realize. Because all this meditation is awareness. So the way to cease all these involvements and affairs and whatever is to start noticing that you're caught. It's as simple as that. It's very simple. Too simple. So simple we don't get it. We just simply look at that, realize as you look at that, that this isn't Sanzen. This is not the proper way to do this meditation. As you're sitting here in this meditation and you're involved in one thing or another, realize what that is. Just simply that. to realize what that is. That is that even though bodily from the outside you look like you're sitting here in Zazen, you're not. You are involved in thinking. And of course, then we get frustrated and we want to stop that. And but just notice how you do that. Notice how you get yourself upset. It's okay that you're thinking. If you're thinking, then you're thinking. It's very normal for you to sit there and think. Yeah. But gradually, if we don't get ourselves upset and entangled with all of this and frustrated by it, thinking that somehow I'm supposed to be not doing this, and then, well, no, but you are. So that's, you know, that's reality. No, what we're doing here is just being aware of what's actually happening. And there you are, you're thinking. Maybe you can just remind yourself gently that this is not Sun Zen. And you might notice that whatever it is that you're holding to or thinking about doesn't really amount to much anyway. A little later on, you get up, walk around, carry on with your affairs and whatever. Now, what were you even thinking about? What was that anyway? So we cease this by noticing it. And if we notice it for what it is, it just leaves by itself. You can't make it go away. You can always invite it to stay, and you invite it to stay by obsessing on it. One way is just we're completely lost in it, and we don't realize what we're doing. The other way that we invite it to stick around is that we get all upset with the fact that this is going on. For me, it was a big revelation. I don't know what would be the word. When I finally started to realize what I was doing about that. Getting all upset with my meditation because I couldn't get things to quiet down. And I realized finally that the only thing that was really the disturbance here was me. Me doing this. Me getting all upset over the fact that I had a thought. You know? And I shouldn't be having a thought. Well, this isn't about shouldn't be having a thought. You're having a thought, so have a thought. But notice how we get involved. And so he says, with this, you know, we can start to learn that, you know, you don't have to get involved with the thought. So gradually in this way, we can cast aside these involvements and cease these affairs. You never be impatient with yourself. We have to acquire some patience here. But we have to understand what we're doing in this meditation. If we're going to do this properly, we have to get used to the idea that you're never going to get hold of anything here and wrestle it to the ground and throw it off. You know, it's nothing like that at all. We put all that energy and effort in the wrong area. The energy and the effort should be just in starting to notice. It's awareness, always coming back to awareness. Just that single word captures it right there. Awareness. See what you're doing. And then he says, do not think good or bad. Do not administer pros and cons. Yeah, so we do not think good or bad about anything, including Zazen or Sanzen. The proper way to do Zazen. That must be better than the improper way to do Zazen, you know. We go on and on like this, you see. But don't you see what we're doing when we do that? See, if we start to learn to watch our mind, and watch our mind grasping and leaning, all of that, then what we see is this endless disturbance of mind. Getting caught up in all kinds of entanglements. Getting caught up in judgment. Getting caught up in disappointment. Instead of just noticing what is there. And how can we say it is good? How can we say it is bad? If you can get hold of it, it is not particularly good. You know? If you manage to throw it away, it's not particularly bad. Whatever it was you threw away. Besides, if you look carefully, you didn't throw anything away. It's still there. But we get entangled. And this is what we don't notice. We're not watching ourselves. We're not watching our own mind. We're not attending to what we're doing, which is what Dogen is speaking of here. And to the extent that we label good and bad and pros and cons, you know, we're working toward this and away from that. We just endlessly keep ourselves involved. You know, pro, I'm going to move toward that quiet mind. Well, you can't do that. There's nothing you can do about that other than notice that right now you don't have a quiet mind as you think that very thought and allow yourself to get caught up in it. Recognize that for what it is, and already a quiet mind is there. Do you know that? The backdrop of our reality, if you just stop doing things, everything goes quiet. Do you know that? We think we have to somehow do something to get to that point, but every time you do something, you're taking yourself in the opposite direction. So just notice that, then you can stop. And if you notice that, the quiet was here all along. See? Right there from the very beginning. And we find this quiet in our mind. So even though the dog is barking outside, you know, or something else is happening, that quiet is right here. Yeah, it's right here, even with the dog barking. So we can find that by recognizing what we're doing. We don't find that by somehow trying to arrange something, somehow trying to acquire some special power. Yeah. You know, it's just simply a matter of noticing what we're doing. This is what enlightenment is, by the way. You know that? Enlightenment is nothing more than seeing delusion. Delusion is what? Delusion is being caught up in illusion. And what is illusion? Well, anything that forms there is illusory. Any ideas and thoughts that you have about this or that, the dog, good or bad, pros and cons. So if we want this enlightenment, and maybe we think we want it because we think it's good, it's the wrong idea, but nevertheless, if you want this enlightenment, this enlightenment is nothing more than realizing what you're doing, seeing how you get caught up and entangled in all sorts of things and used to con the labels of good and bad and all the rest. And with that understanding, with that realization, we can start to learn to just not involve ourselves with all of that. This doesn't mean then that we, you know, just sit like a lump, you know, and never do anything. No, the fact is that the world is acting all around you. You can't get out of it. So here you are. You're just participating in everything. But it's really a matter of a question of whether or not you're here, you're present, you're awake to what's going on, or you're taken in by it all, you're confused. What we're discussing now, then, is the proper way to do Zazen. And you have to, at some point, you have to take this to heart, what Dogen is saying here. Make some effort to try to understand what it is that he's telling us, what it is that he's pointing out. Because if we don't, we will continue with our old habits of, well, I will sit down to make myself calm, I will sit down to get something, I will sit down to become a better person, I will sit down so that I can become enlightened and all that. When in fact, enlightenment is just there if you just stop. Enlightenment is already there. See? So we have to understand. So that means that as we come in and we sit down in our meditation, right from the very start, we understand what we're doing. We are engaged in this activity of watching what is taking place. And whenever we see ourselves getting entangled in some way, some leaning of mind involved there in some way, we recognize that and stop. And it's as simple as that. So then he says, cease all movements of the conscious mind. You mean to cease all movements of the conscious mind? That's what we're talking about. In this, now, does that mean that, well, what if a conscious thought comes up in your mind? Oh, no, I'm not doing it anymore. No, if a thought comes up, that's fine. It's that creating it, getting caught up in it, making something out of it, getting entangled in it. A thought just no different than a sound. The dog barks. What difference does that make? A bubble of a thought comes up and like the sound that fades away, so does the bubble. So don't be deceived by that. Don't be fooled by that. This then is ceasing the movements of the conscious mind, the gauging of all thoughts and views. We sit there, we're watching it, we're gauging it, we're labeling it, we're doing something with it. Maybe some of those things might help us as little tools at the beginning to help us to notice what is taking place, so we can allow ourselves maybe to at least stick around here for a while, right where we are, instead of wandering away and not noticing what we're doing. But that isn't what this is about. This gauging and labeling and what does he say here? You know, all the gauging of all thoughts and views. We don't need to do that. We don't need to evaluate anything here, size up anything, make something of anything. We cease the movements of the conscious mind. In other words, something comes up. If you go toward it, you're moving toward it. You're initiating something here. This is your intent, your leaning mind that is going to engage that in some way and move it. Even if it's with the delusional thought that I've got to throw that out now. This is all wrong. This is not sanzen. This is not the proper way to do your meditation. So we have to understand that. And then when you catch yourself doing that, and you probably will do that, because it's very normal for us to do things like that. It's very normal for us to understand meditation as this activity of trying to make ourselves quiet. And we do that as long as we don't realize that you already are quiet. If you would just stop, you would find that out. See? Everything is quiet. So it's a matter of, the thought comes up, that's okay. Just let it bubble up. You don't have to do anything with it. You don't have to drive it out. You don't have to pick it up. You don't have to do anything. And this is the ceasing of the movement. He's talking about this intentional movement. That you're out of your own volition. You are causing something to happen. This is what we learn to stop. And we learn to stop that by just simply noticing it for what it is and realizing that that is not sanzen. It's as simple as that. Then he says, have no designs on becoming a Buddha. Don't have any idea of becoming, well, anything really in particular. You will never succeed. You will never be anything in particular. You aren't now, you never have been, you never will be. How could you ever be a Buddha? You know, or enlightened, you know. But how could you even be deluded? You can't be anything in particular. Nothing ever settles down long enough for us to acquire it. So stop thinking about that I will do this meditation so that I can become enlightened. I will do this meditation so I can become a Buddha. The reality of your life, which is Buddha, is already sitting right there with you now. But for the fact that we keep trying to be Buddha, we don't recognize what Buddha is. That's that Zen story of the guy who goes out looking for a fire. You know, he carries his lamp, you know, with a lit flame, walking around looking for fire so he can cook his dinner. He said that if he understood what fire was, he could have cooked his dinner long ago. But we do that. We'll persist in this meditation for a long time, not quite understanding what we're doing. So we take it up in the wrong way, we carry it out in the wrong way, we practice it in the wrong way. So Dogen here in Sanzen, he said, this is the proper way to do meditation. And he's talking about having this very basic understanding. This understanding, of course, is very subtle and quite profound. And so it's easily missed. For the longest time, we might think, well, I'm not quite hearing that right. Surely he couldn't mean something like that, you know? You know, it seemed like there's got to be more to it than that, you know? If there's anything more to it, then, of course, that's just the world of human entanglement once again. There's not much to this. As my teacher used to say, it's because we're complicated that we don't see this. We just have this penchant for complicating everything, you know. And we also convince ourselves that, well, if it isn't complicated, then it can't be worth very much, you know. Yeah, that's probably true. So this isn't worth very much. And that's one more reason. And we keep going around looking for that thing that has some great worth, great value, that everybody will be impressed with. But that just, again, more entanglements, more confusion. So have no designs on becoming a Buddha. Yeah, and then we complicate these kind of things too, like sometimes we'll, and it's probably not a good idea, we'll slap something like this on people, and then we think, oh, well, that's something special. Some people might work toward getting something like that or getting some recognition. But this is not a good thing. This just gets us more entangled, more confused. Things come out of an ancient way, an ancient tradition, has certain kinds of garments, certain robes, certain rituals, certain ways of doing things. It's so easy for us to be fooled by all of that and to think that this means something special, that means something special, when in fact all we're ever talking about is watching your own mind and allowing yourself to settle down in reality itself, right now, right here, right where you're sitting, you know, and to not be caught up by this and that. Again, it doesn't mean that you can't act or do anything. You have to act and do things because everything is acting and doing. But it's a matter of, are you awake in that moment, in this moment, or not? But as for things that are special or people that are special or they get the robes or they get this or that, it's not about this. And so often these things get in the way. I'm trying to figure out right now ways to work with this because I've seen it all along, as long as I've been in this, whatever it is I'm in. People just get caught. Get caught. Some people put robes on and they get caught. Other people get caught. They see somebody in robes, they get caught. This isn't about, we're caught enough as it is. We don't need to do things to make it even more complicated for ourselves and to dupe ourselves and to confuse ourselves. So we need to look at that. That's something, too, my teacher said. He realized that his way and their culture and their way of doing things. He said, I'm Japanese, I can only show you our way. And he did. And he said, but you have to find your own way. This is a different culture, a different time, a different place. He said, find your own way to dress. Find your own way to do the orioki. Yeah. Didn't change too much there. That was pretty limited what you can do with that one. But there's a lot of things that we can change. But of course, I don't know what to change. I don't know. Can't just go willy-nilly changing things and dropping things, you know. So we have to be careful there. And I don't ever expect to see that we'll ever get this perfected. Certainly not in my lifetime, but I don't think that we'll ever see it ever. So, but it always is a matter of just coming back to noticing what you're doing and how you get caught. Never mind about how other people are getting caught and how confused they are. This is about you noticing how you get caught. For each one of us, we need to do that. Then, if you can be free of that, then maybe you can, you know, you've come out of your own ego mind. Then maybe you can look around and see how people get caught. But you're not driving for any particular point, not, you know, raising any kind of flag. You're not on any particular kind of mission other than, let's see what we can do to make this clear. Now, we're never going to make it perfectly clear. We're never going to remove all the hooks and snares and things. But we can perhaps do some things that help people from getting so confused, particularly how they're getting confused in their meditation. So have no designs on becoming a Buddha. And then finally he says, Sanzen, this proper way of doing meditation, it has nothing whatever to do with sitting or lying down. This Sanzen has nothing whatever to do with sitting or lying down. Well, of course, this is an English translation from the Japanese. I should have gone back and looked at the literal again, but which I didn't do now, but that word whatever. It doesn't mean that it has nothing to do with sitting or lying. It has as much to do with sitting or lying down as anything else, except in a sense it doesn't really have anything to do with anything. Sanzen is just being present here in this moment. So if we think that our meditation, we think the activity that goes on in the meditation hall is special, of course we do things a little differently here. Easy for us to think that. Normally, you walk into a room, you don't have to pay attention to what foot you're using. But here you do. We say, step in with your left foot. Now, some of you might not know that yet. I don't know if you've had that instruction or not. I'm glad you survived. You got into the room without, you know, dying. But you see, in a sense, you can say, well, these things don't matter. You know, lightning doesn't, you know, of course, certainly it doesn't. But what are we talking about? It always comes back to this matter of, are you awake? Are you present? And that is the point. And while you don't have to then carry on the practice, so when you go to work or you get on the bus or you're doing this and that, you're always leading off with the left foot or something like that. Of course, in those cases, you'd probably lead off with the right foot, because as we leave the room, we use the right foot to go back out into the active world there. But the point is that what Dogen is talking about here, this proper way, is a practice that is universal. This universal can be taken in a number of different directions here, but I'll just look at this one way here. But this can be applied anywhere, at any time. Rather than applied, just say engaged. In other words, this is about taking up this awareness, and we can practice it everywhere. If we think that somehow this is a special activity that we can only do while we're sitting in the zendo on our cushion or at home in our special place on a cushion or something like that, then we don't understand. We really do not understand what we're doing. This is not sanzen. You will do that thinking that you are doing something special for some purpose that maybe you'll get something by and by. You're not quite sure what, but some, because otherwise, you know, I couldn't bring myself to just go ahead and do this. That is all a misunderstanding. That is not understanding this practice. That this practice is something we just take up from moment to moment. It doesn't mean that we do this perfectly. I certainly can't do it perfectly from moment to moment. But this is the practice that we take up. From time to time, we will, come into a place like this and sit down, where everything's kind of set up to be quiet. There isn't a lot of activity going on. And in some ways, we've kind of brushed aside a lot of the things that are likely to get us entangled, at least in the outer environment. But of course, then that allows us just to sit down and notice how our minds get really caught up and entangled by things. But the fact is, apart from that, there's really no difference that we can take this sanzen and we can do this proper way of bringing ourselves back to this moment and realizing what we're doing in this moment. We can do this anywhere and under any circumstance. There's nothing special about the sitting posture. Then we say, well, then I don't need to do it because maybe it isn't so fun, something like that. But if you were practicing this sanzen, you would never think that. You would never say that. You would, on a regular basis, bring yourself back to just this and take up a practice in just this way. But this is the practice, and we would take this up, we would do this. But do not make it into something special. It is just the simplest, purest form of taking this up, that's all. And it is good for us to do that. And it is good for us to do it regularly. The frequency and the intensity and the length of it, not so important. But that we come back to it on a regular basis is of extreme importance, supreme importance. Because if you learn to do that, you will be practicing in this way that is not that way of thinking that you're doing it for some particular reason. Thinking, oh, now's my time. I gotta get a little bit more zazen in. Now I need to sit for a little while. All that stuff is confusion. All that kind of thinking, that kind of practicing is not sanzen. It's not the proper way to practice this. But you get a steadiness in your practice. There you can find it. And you will realize that you're doing this for life. You will realize you're doing this from moment to moment. You're doing this forever. You're doing this as it is. You're doing this, what it is. You are not removing yourself from the actual life that you live. You want to be, you're bringing yourself back to that. And you can carry it and take it with you wherever you go. This is the proper way, the proper understanding of this practice. Well, anyway, I probably said enough about that, but any questions about anything I said today? This is important. I'm sorry to bring you back to this. Maybe I should bring you back to this more often, because we need to be reminded of this, of just what this meditation is. Because we will so easily slip back into just our old standard habitual ways of thinking about meditation. You know, that I have to do this to make myself calm or whatever. And that we will think we're doing this meditation to get something out of it. So it's important, I think, that we come back to this, even though many of the things I've said here, you've probably heard in bits and pieces here and there over and over again. It's good that we come back, because at some point maybe we'll take it to heart. We'll realize what it is that Dogen is actually saying to us. Any questions? Yeah.
Almost everyone I know thinks of meditation as either spiritual aerobics or spiritual self-improvement. My wife, in fact, was recently brought in to a Buddhist group to lead a session on something they were doing in terms of reorganizing and thinking things through. And at one point she said, she just kind of threw out, well, of course meditation isn't self-improvement. She got a room full of blank stares. Like, of course it is.
Yeah.
Yet so much in American culture is about one kind or another of aerobics. Do you, whether spiritual or mental or vocational or whatever, self-improvement.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something uniquely American about getting caught in that place?
No, I wouldn't say uniquely American. Though certainly we live in a culture, particularly right now, that spends an awful lot of time and energy making us think that we have to go out and buy and improve ourselves and please ourselves and all the rest of that. Yeah. And we get bombarded with the advertising and all of that. And it's all directed at pleasing and yourself and all of that. At least much of it is. Protecting yourself. You know all the medicine ads and things that they have now, and that the pharmaceutical companies have finally—well, it's been some time ago now, but that this happened. But they originally they couldn't advertise prescription medicines, and that's it was against the law. But they got those laws changed. Now they make you think that you talk your doctor into giving you a prescription to take our medicine, things like that. So we're driven to that. We're pushed, and if we're not paying attention, we'll be drawn in. By all of that, we'll think that we need this, and we think that we'll need that, and we'll think that this will make us happy, but it doesn't make us happy, and it doesn't make us sane, and it doesn't make us wise or kinder or anything else. But is that uniquely American? No, I wouldn't say it's uniquely American, but certainly I think it is something that as Americans we're very much subjected to now. But sure, then we come to Buddhism in a culture like this, and we'll think that, well, of course we take this up for that very reason. You know, this will do something. I mean, it's just part of the same thing. Why would we meditate? Well, it's to give us something. And maybe it will give us, if nothing more, just an identity. Oh, yes, I'm a Buddhist meditator, you know. But all of this is... traps and snares. And if we got into this teaching and into this practice, we would realize that that's what this teaching and practice is about. It's not self-help. We get into this practice, we realize that we can't even identify a self. That's what this teaching is about. In a psychology class that we're having right now, I start out by pointing out how very often people think that somehow we can, I don't know, take some Buddhist kind of techniques and things and drag those into Western psychology, or very, very often, more often perhaps, I find that things that we pick up in Western psychology we'll drag those kinds of notions and ideas into trying to get an understanding of Buddhist psychology. When in fact the two are almost totally incompatible, in the sense that our psychology, Western psychology, is so much based on the self. When Buddhist psychology has nothing to do with that, it's just coming to realize the emptiness of that notion of a self. So, and there are other profound differences as well. And I don't want to deceive anybody here, you see. So I don't want to lead you on into thinking that somehow we can reinterpret Dogen and what the Buddha taught in ways that match our assumptions. you know, yes, this is good. You should meditate. You know, it will do you a lot of good. So it's like, you know, eat your spinach and meditate. You know, and it is not that. But if you come to realize that, you will find liberation unlike, because you know, it's of a unique kind. Because there's nothing in particular you hold on to bring you there, including this very teaching itself. But that's real freedom. That's real sanity. And it's right there. If we just stop to recognize what we're doing. Even to recognize, even in the gross ways, we can begin to recognize how we're caught by advertising, say. That's a very gross kind of awareness that we can come to. Just that alone might help us a lot. But that can be refined and refined and refined to very subtle levels. I don't know, did I answer your question, Scott? Yeah. Anything else? Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.